what goes up must come down. Welcome to The Brand Breakdown. I'm Michelle.
And I'm Courtney.
And this is where we're going to track the rise and fall of big brands, from companies to celebs to pop culture phenoms and everything in between. Let's get started.
It's been a really long time since we've talked to you guys, but we're here, we're back, and we are ready for action because Woo! So much is going on. There's Courtney. Hi, Courtney.
Hello.
So today we're going to do an episode on the royal family because there are so many royal shenanigans going on, and we want to do a little recap so everybody knows what we know or what Courtney knows, because I only know a fraction of what she knows. But anyway, let's get started. It's so true. With England's Mother's Day, which was last weekend, which obviously is different from the American Mother's Day, which is in a month. I think it's like the second Sunday of May or something like that.
That sounds right, I think. Yeah, second Sunday.
And if I sound congested, I apologize. I live in the South. And everything I own, everything I get into, everything that is within a 50-mile radius is completely yellow. So it has made me very congested. So if you do live in the South, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. All right, my friend, tell us what's going on. Let's talk about Mother's Day first.
Sure. So for Mother's Day, they call it Mothering Sunday in the UK. And William and Catherine and the Waleses obviously are in the UK still, so they celebrate Mothering Sunday. And so this year, it's kind of interesting because last year the Mother's Day photo is what set off all of the crazy, like, where's Kate?
The
is
furor.
She hiding? Like, all of that stuff. Because of the slight, extremely slight edits that were on the photo that she sent out. And so this year, rather than sending a Mother's Day photo, she sent out a video expressing her appreciation for Mother Nature, and talking about her caption was talking about how over the past year, while she's been going through her cancer treatment, nature has been like a very grounding force for her and her family. So for Mother's Day this year, Kate is appreciating the environment.
I get it though, because she could be gun shy from what happened last Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. And also I think that the clips I've seen of the video look like they came directly from the video that they did when she was talking about being in remission from her cancer. Am I correct in that?
Yes, they're from the remission video, and I think there might have been one other video that they were from as well, because she released another video, like, over the duration of time. So, yeah, they're all clips from a reused video or two. I think she's probably, especially because, like, I was surprised this year that they did still release family photos, around the holidays. I believe for the kids' birthdays they released photos, and I was surprised that they did. But I'm not surprised that for Mother's Day, which is the day that started all the ridiculous drama last year, she was kind of like, no, we're gonna do something different.
I don't blame her. I mean, and while the video is a tiny bit esoteric, you know, I thought it was pretty, and I still get the sentiment. And, you know, I think Catherine has changed tremendously in the last year, and she was already a good person and she was already empathetic and all of that, but I also think she has sort of shored up her defenses as well as mm-hmm. becoming more empathetic, and because I've seen all those videos with her with kids with cancer and people with cancer and all the stuff she's doing with that, I think it's really lovely. But I also think she's stronger and more definitive in what she will do and what she will not do, and nobody's going to tell her what to do anymore, and I kind of love that.
Yeah, I definitely think she in particular, but also William, have like been much more, they're kind of like growing into their position as the Prince and Princess of Wales, as opposed to the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge. They're obviously much closer to the throne now. And I think they're both just really putting their foot down about things and being like, nope, this is how we're going to do it. And you're not going to bully us into doing it your way. Yeah. And I think, you know, when the late queen was alive, there was like an expectation of how things were done. And William and Catherine were probably much happier to go along with the way things had always been done because, you know, the queen was an institution in and of herself. But Charles is kind of leading a much different reign. And I think William will also have a much different reign than even what his father is doing. And so this is kind of also part of that transition to a different like working style for the royal family. And it's giving Catherine and William the confidence to just really be firm in how they handle things, how they interact with the press, how their children are allowed to be exposed to the press. And I think it's nice for them.
Yeah, I do too. Did I see also a mothering message from Meghan? I feel like I saw that.
Yes, Meghan put out a message on her personal Twitter. Her personal Instagram. She is back on Instagram. And it was a picture of a cake that she said is the tradition. It's her family's, so her and Harry and the children, their Mothering Sunday tradition while they celebrate Mother's Day here in the U.S. So they're still celebrating Mothering Sunday on the same date that they celebrate it in the U.K. So I don't know if Meghan gets two Mother's Days. I don't know if they'll celebrate again in May.
I'm kind of jealous of that.
Yeah. but she did post a photo of a beautiful cake that I'm assuming she made. I don't know if she made it with the kids or for the kids. But she said that that's their tradition on Mothering Sunday is this pretty cake that she made. So,
well, good for them. Yeah. So speaking of modernizing the monarchy, I think Charles had kind of a little scare with some of his cancer treatment a week or so ago. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we don't really know that much about it. It was last Thursday. He had to be observed in the hospital. He wasn't like admitted overnight or anything. And they said that he had some side effects from his cancer treatment. And so as a result of that, they would be canceling his engagements that were supposed to take place the next day. So had he not had something scheduled for the next day, we probably never would have even known about it. And in the statement, they did say that it was a like small blip on a road that is otherwise going in the right direction. And they really downplayed any sort of like seriousness of it other than to just say, you know, he had to be observed for a couple hours due to side effects. They made a point of saying the queen did not go to the hospital, like it wasn't serious enough that like she had to be called in or anything like that, but they didn't say what it was, which is kind of the way that the royals are handling health stuff for now. You know, when the late queen was reigning, we didn't ever really know anything about her health situation. We heard that she had mobility issues for like 3 years, and it turned out that she had bone cancer, and that is ultimately what she died from, although she was also very old, so old age probably played a part there. But they just always called it mobility issues. So the king and also Catherine have taken a slightly more like transparent step in saying like, yes, we have cancer, but neither of them have specified what type of cancer, because they're just holding on to that piece of, you know, privacy for themselves, which I think is fine and deserved. I've also seen some reports speculate, I don't know if it's been confirmed, but that one of the reasons they don't want to specifically say what type of cancer they have is because they don't want people to start pouring research funds only into like those types of cancer, and like shoring up more like donations or something like that for like only the type of cancer that they're dealing with. So we don't know what type of cancer we had, and we don't know specifically what side effects that the king was experiencing. But if I had to guess, not at all being any sort of medical professional, but it sounds like he might have just had some like dizziness or dehydration or a rash or something like that, like something that was inconvenient and annoying and enough cause to be like, okay, hey, why don't you take it easy tomorrow? But nothing serious enough to require him to stay in the hospital or to even have anybody come sit with him at the hospital. Like, he wasn't admitted. He just stayed a little bit longer for his treatment, it sounds like. So, but the palace was really, they made sure to say that he is, it was a blip on a road going in the right direction. So it sounds like
that's getting good.
Better. Yeah. And he seems well. I mean, when he's out and about, he seems healthy and hale, and he doesn't, you know, look like he's slowing down at all. And he's been taking up a regular schedule of engagements. We see him most every day at multiple engagements. Today he's at one, I don't know, he's like dedicating an airplane or something, christening an airplane. So like, he seems to be doing okay.
Yeah, I think there are, you know, cancer drugs are miraculous in many, many ways, but they also cause a whole host of side effects, which you hear every time you listen to a Keytruda advertisement. You know, side effects may include, you know, I'm not even going to say what they include because they're so gross and so like jarring that I'm not even going to say them. It's way too explicit. But, you know, hopefully whatever was going on was quickly alleviated. And, you know, I've had many friends with cancer, and sometimes they have terrible side effects and they end up having to leave that drug and go to another drug and et cetera. So hopefully he will bounce back quickly. Well, tell us a little bit. I know we're dying to get to it. Tell us a little bit about Meghan's new show. I know you've watched it. So I want to hear about her new show.
Not only have I watched it, I've watched it twice. and I've like literally been telling everybody to like watch it. Like, it's funny. I watched it and then I was telling my mom and my sisters and my aunts. I was like, oh, you have to watch it. We're in like this big group chat together. And I was like, you guys have to watch it. Like, it's really cute. And they were like, I thought you didn't like her. And I was like, no, it's not. I don't like some of the things she's done. I don't like some of the ways that her and her husband have gone about some stuff, but I've never been rooting against her. And this new direction of like the show and the lifestyle brand and the cooking accoutrement and all of that, like, that's what I've been saying she should have been doing since the very beginning. That's what I thought was going to happen when they first left the UK back in 2020. I was like, okay, this is what's going to happen. She's going to launch a brand. She's going to be the next Gwyneth Paltrow. The Tig is coming back. And that obviously never happened, or it hadn't happened until now. So now she's got – this is technically the third – I believe show on Netflix. They had Harry and Meghan, the documentary, which I did not watch. And then Harry's polo show, which I kind of watched a couple episodes of, and like, it was okay. It was pretty. Like, I'm not really into polo or anything. I just kind of had it on in the background and like, it was fine, whatever. And then this is the third one as part of their Netflix deal. And so the show is called With Love, Meghan. And it's basically, the format is that every episode, which I think every episode's like 30 minutes, 45 minutes, every episode she has a friend with her or a couple of friends, and they go through some little easy recipes, easy cute recipes for like entertaining, and some little, I don't want to say like decorating, but little things you can do as like a hostess that elevate the experience of like, you know, hosting people in your home. And she makes a point throughout every episode to say multiple times, like, she knows she's not reinventing the wheel. She knows she's not doing anything like groundbreaking. It's just taking something really simple and making it slightly more special. So like in the first episode, her makeup artist friend Daniel is coming to stay at her house. And so she's like, I want to get his room ready. So, you know, he loves these peanut butter pretzels, and she got like panned for this, like people ripped her apart for it, but so she bought this bag of peanut butter pretzels that he loves, they're his like favorite treat, and she put them in like a cute little bag with a little bow, and people were like, how stupid, all she's doing is taking stuff from one plastic bag to another. But like, as she was doing it in the episode, she was saying like, he loves these, I just bought them from the store, they just look cuter in this bag, so I'm just gonna put them in the bag because it's cute and it shows that like I took the extra step And I like spent three extra seconds to be a little bit more thoughtful about welcoming somebody into my home. And with the way the world is right now and everything is so stressful and there is just drama at every turn, 100%. Her show was just, yeah, like her show is just like a nice little escape. It's really beautiful to look at. Like everything is so pretty. I've always said like I really like her aesthetic and her like style of clothing and decor. And the show is not filmed in her own kitchen. They rented a house, I guess, like down the street from where she actually lives. But it's still very much in line with like her aesthetic. And it's just pretty to look at. It's fun to watch her interact with her friends and people that she brought on. There is somebody on the show who she's never met before. He's like a famous chef and they don't know each other. But she was like, she's like, I can't believe he said yes. Like, I can't believe he agreed to be on the show. And then he was funny. He was like, I can't believe you know who I am. Like, I was so honored that you wanted me on your show. And it was like fun to just watch them talk and chat. And they grew up in the same area. So they were like having conversations about what it was like to grow up in LA. And it's just like pleasant. I thought personally, it's just fluff. It's not groundbreaking. It's not like anything too deep. It's just pleasant to watch and it's a nice little escape. And if you're watching it thinking you're going to see like some sort of revolutionary cooking technique or some sort of idea that nobody's ever done before, like that's not what it is. It's just cute and fun. And I liked it. I've watched it twice.
Well, and you're pretty discriminating. So I like that you liked it. I just haven't had time. Like, you know, it's a busy season for me down here. So I haven't had any time, but I do plan to watch it like the next time I go to the beach and, or, you know, somewhere where I'm kind of away for a couple of days or something. Cause I can't imagine that I could get my husband to watch it. But you know, if it was salacious in any way, he might be like, well, I don't mind watching, you know, if it's gossipy or whatever. But if it's just wholesome and whatever, although he does love Hometown, he'll watch that all day long.
Hometown, he'll like this. Can I tell you a story about Hometown?
Oh, yes. Well, and I'll have to have him listen to this because he never listens because he loves Hometown. Thanks, David. I know, right? He loves Hometown with all of his heart. So, yes, tell me a Hometown story.
So Erin Napier on Hometown.
She's adorable.
Love her. She, before she was on Hometown, before she had the show, she designed wedding invitations. And my wedding invitations were designed by her. But not just that. When I was planning my wedding, my mom's best friend opened a store called Paper and Pearl. And she actually, I own the company now. But
didn't I order something from there? I feel like I did.
Yeah, I believe you did.
Okay.
And we do, you know, like custom wedding invitations and then also like we have ready to print invitations, like whatever. And so in order for my wedding invitations to be designed by Erin, but through Paper and Pearl at the time that Paper and Pearl was like launching, we became the first brand to carry Erin Napier's line of invitations. And now she no longer does invitations, but she had this like gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous line of wedding invitations. And they were so beautiful. And she doesn't do it anymore, which is such a bummer. But I guess when you become famous, you just don't have time for that.
Well, she's busy.
Yeah, she's a little busy. But yeah, that's my connection to Erin Napier. She designed the world's most beautiful. Like, I still look at my wedding invitations. My husband and I just celebrated our 10-year wedding anniversary. And I look at them sometimes and I'm just like, oh, God, I love those. They're just like, they were perfect. They were like everything I wanted. Oh, I just love them. But anyway, I feel that's my like, Hometown story.
All right, here's my hot take on that. I feel like that wedding invitations are aspirational for most people. Mm-hmm. That you want your wedding invitation to be everything that you want your wedding to be, possibly what you want your marriage to be, how you see yourselves interacting. Like, I just feel like there's so much love and attention and aspiration that goes into creating a wedding invitation. At least for most people, like, you know, most people I know, especially down here in the South, like the wedding invitation is really important. You know, it has to be embossed, and it has to have a watermark, and it has to be a certain font. And, you know, like it just, it's just a whole thing. And I love that you love them so much. I love mine too. But I didn't have anybody famous design them, just my husband.
Well, she wasn't famous at the time.
She's adorable. She's adorable. I like her.
I like her too.
They're wholesome people. Anyway, yes. So if it's that wholesome, I will have David watch it because he would enjoy it.
And she has, like, I don't know if he likes Mindy Kaling, but she's on the show. Abigail Spencer, who is one of Megan's really good friends, and she was also on Suits with her. She's on the show.
Oh, that's so weird because Netflix is playing in the background right now, and Suits was just on the TV.
Oh, really?
That's so, yeah. Like, I'm not watching it. It's like showing advertisements. You know how it does? Mm-hmm. And it just showed Suits while you were saying that. That's super weird. Oh, good. I feel like everything listens to us. Like, I feel like I could say, you know, Cracker Jack, and there'd be like a Cracker Jack commercial that would come on.
Yeah, so you're going to see a million Cracker Jack ads now.
I know. It's so weird. Anyway, okay. So you love the show.
Love it.
I'm really happy for her because I feel like she's been on the struggle bus about, you know, which direction to go, how to launch, what, you know, people, she changed the name from the American Riviera Orchard. Now it's what? Mm-hmm. She changed it to what? I can't remember.
As Ever.
What's the new name?
As Ever.
As Ever. And then there were some... Yeah. And then someone said, oh, As Ever is this other brand and this other brand and this other brand. But I think it's a distinct category. So I think she'll probably be able to keep that, I would imagine.
Yeah. She did have a little bit of trouble with like the logo, because the logo for As Ever looked, I don't know if they changed it at all. Let me pull up the website. Yeah. She's still using the same one. It's like very similar to the Village coat of arms for some village in like Mallorca or something that has been the village coat of arms for like 1,000 years. And it is quite similar. So she has had like a few little missteps here and there. Like it seems like American Riviera Orchard was launched like they didn't really
prematurely.
Plan it out really. They kind of jumped the gun there. This branding, potential branding issue. Although the village in Mallorca said, like, we don't have enough money to fight this. So, like, we hope she just changes it. And she hasn't changed it. But overall, I think.
Well, maybe she's working on it.
Yeah. And I don't think it's like that big of a. I don't want to say it's not that big of a deal because for the people who live there, they feel like their identity is being stolen. I get that. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not the worst thing that somebody could do. It's not like they slapped the similar coat of arms on something offensive, you know, it's on raspberry jam.
I mean, here's the interesting thing though. I just want to, since we're both in advertising, I just have to say there are 1,000 designers per square mile in the US, especially the West Coast, East Coast, and then Chicago, whatever. How is someone designing a logo for her that they're not doing the flipping research? Like, that doesn't even make sense to me. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, you have an entire agency working on your behalf. How did they not figure out that this was similar to some other logo? I mean, I think AI could, the large language models could figure that out. You could run a scan and figure that out. And that piece of it doesn't make sense to me. So, well, just saying.
The part that I think is so weird is the logos are so similar that it almost seems like somebody would have to have said, I saw this somewhere and I really liked it. Can I have something like this? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's a palm tree with two birds on the side of it. Like, that's a very specific thing to have like randomly thought of. To the point where like it almost seems to me that somebody said like, let's use this as inspiration, maybe not knowing what exactly it was. Maybe they did some sort of Google search to say like looking for inspirational things or whatever, and said like, let's use this for inspiration, And then rather than using it for inspiration, they just copied it, essentially. And not saying that it was like Megan who did this, like her branding company might have, you know, put together a mood board or something. And
right.
It was on there. And I don't know. So I don't want to like, I don't know who did their branding. I don't know who's in charge of that.
Right.
I don't.
I'm sure she hired an agency.
It looks like her website was done by the same company that did the TIG and that did the Sussex Royal website back in the day. So I'm assuming it was, you know, at some point there was some collaboration where somebody created some sort of branding mood board and was like, let's use this as inspiration. And the inspiration ended up being almost a direct copy.
Yeah. I mean, it happens. It happens all the time. It happens in writing. It happens in design. Like, I get it. I just think there needs to either be acknowledgement or she needs to change it if it really is that similar. Let me ask you, what does as ever mean for her? Do you know?
So she says that as ever, like literally in the way that as ever, like the if you signed a letter, like as ever, Megan, like always with you or like.
So I just saw the picture of the two logos side by side, and they are almost identical. So silly. We were talking about, I think, what as ever means to Megan. And, you know, I love the font. She probably wrote that. I mean, who knows?
But yeah, that's her handwriting.
Yeah, but the logos are, that's insanity. Like, who thought that would get caught? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's insane. Well, so pick back up on what as ever means to Megan.
Oh, right. So her whole thing is that just as ever means like kind of exactly what it says. she says that it's like, you know, with you or like the same as always or like the same as we have been or something like that, in like in the usual way. So it doesn't really sort of have any deep meaning other than she's basically saying like, this is like as it's always been, this is how I've always been and this is has always been since 2014 when she had the TIG. Because when she had the TIG, she was always writing about like cooking and crafting and gardening. And so now this new brand, as ever, is about cooking and crafting and gardening. It's essentially the TIG 2.0. So she's just basically saying it's kind of like a callback to her original lifestyle brand from a decade ago.
I can't believe that was a decade ago. That's crazy.
I know.
Anyway, well, we'll move on from the logo thing. Hopefully she'll get that straightened out and, you know, we'll move on as ever. So I guess the last thing on our list was the not so pleasant thing, which is Harry's being sued, I guess, by one of the charities he created in South Africa. Is that right?
So it's not a lawsuit. I guess what it is that the chair of Sentebale, or Sentebale, I think it's Sentebale, the chair of the charity, who he is the founder and he's been a patron of it, essentially was trying to, she was having some disconnect with the rest of the board. And so in solidarity with the board, Harry and his co-founder, Prince Siso, I'm not sure if that's how you say that, but they both resigned in solidarity with the rest of the board because the chair and the board were having some difficulties and whatever. Now it's coming out. It's turning into a bit of a he said, she said. But the chair, who her name is Dr. Sophie Chanduaka. I probably butchered that. But she is saying that all of the problems started at a charity polo match a couple years ago when Megan had said she wasn't going to be attending. She had RSVP'd no. And then she ended up showing up that day at the last minute. I believe Harry's Netflix cameras were in tow. And you may recall this charity event. Meghan was dressed in this like beautiful white dress. She looked really lovely. And when they were presenting the trophy, Harry's team won. So Sophie, being the chair of Centibale, and Centibale was the big sponsor. And this is how – this is essentially how Centibale makes all their money. They make all of their money essentially through Harry's polo matches. They don't have like a ton of other donors. So Harry's team won. They go up for the trophy presentation. And Sophie had been standing next to Harry. And so Meghan kind of is like directing her to like go stand on the other side, to like stand – to stand actually in the middle – of the group, but Meghan wanted to stand next to Harry. And so Meghan's kind of directing Sophie to stand like in the middle of the group. And if you look at the photo, you can see that Sophie ends up being in like a prominent place in the photo. But I guess her and Meghan were having, it took like Meghan told her like a couple times to go move and she didn't at first. And then it was like holding up the trophy presentation and the whole thing is being caught on camera by all of the photographers who are there to take the photos of the trophy presentation. So then apparently articles started coming out about Meghan being unpleasant and Meghan bullying Sophie and being rude to her. And Harry had wanted Sophie to issue a statement saying, nothing happened. Everything was fine. It was no big deal. Like, she wasn't unpleasant. We have a great working relationship. I love Meghan, whatever. And Sophie said she wouldn't do it. And she said that she didn't want to see Centibale become an arm of the Sussex PR machine. And because she wouldn't do it, then Harry became a little bit, like, bitter towards her. And this, like, kicked off a feud between Harry and the chair of Centibale, and then somehow this trickled down into the board and like Sophie and the board being pit against each other because who knows what exactly happened there, who poisoned the well against who. But ultimately it led to the entire board resigning and Harry and his co-founder resigning with them in solidarity. And now the charity is being reviewed by some like international watchdog organizations regarding, you know, like their funding and donations and all of that stuff. That was announced by the BBC this morning. So
do you think that's more because of the woman or because of Prince Harry being involved?
It says that the BBC article says the watchdog said it had opened the case to examine concerns raised about Centibale following claims made by its head, Sophie. She told the BBC she welcomes the move by the commission, which comes after she said she had blown the whistle on issues, including bullying and harassment. So we're essentially back to the Sussexes being involved in another bullying scandal.
I think that might be a buzzword for people now. Like, how do I get the Sussexes? Oh, I accused them of bullying. That's what worked the last time.
Yeah. It seems – it's very weird, though, because we don't have any details about, like, why the whole board resigned. It was said that the board had some issues regarding, like, mismanagement, that maybe there were some issues regarding, like, management of, like, finances and stuff like that. But it looks like what's actually being investigated here is, or from Sophie's perspective anyway, that the investigation will be bullying and harassment. But yeah, it like regulatory compliance will be reviewed. It's just interesting because we don't know the details. Like the only thing we know is that Harry and the board resigned, and then we see this saying like, oh, the problem is because she wouldn't be their PR, essentially. And so that's what caused all these problems. And we don't know exactly the deeper, like we don't have any real inklings about the deeper issues other than that there may be some financial concerns, but it doesn't say if the financial concerns are something she mismanaged, if the board mismanaged it and she was trying to fix something. It'll be Yeah, it says this article I'm reading right now says among the likely claims are that £500,000 of Santabile money was spent on consultants and a strategy to get donations from wealthy individuals and foundations, but it did not deliver adequate results, which doesn't necessarily seem like mismanagement. If they hired a company that didn't deliver, like, that's a bummer, but
yeah.
It doesn't mean necessarily that anybody, whether it was Sophie or the board, did something wrong other than maybe picking not the best consultants to work with. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what comes of it. But basically, Harry is now in his own bullying scandal, which during the whole Meghan bullying scandal, we also heard little inklings of like Harry flipping out at people and Harry, you know, treating some staff, especially we heard he had an altercation with the late Queen's dresser, Angela Kelly, like, you know, kind of treating some people less than kindly and doing a lot of like posturing and the like, do you know who I am type of thing. So
I do that to people on a regular basis. And you know what they say to me? I have no idea who you are. Are you important? I'm just kidding. Like,
absolutely not. Who are you?
I actually had a friend who had a client who was a very difficult person. And he said to my friend, do you know who I am? Tell me my job title. And that was super weird. Like, who does that in this day and age? Like, that's ridiculous. Yeah, it's kind of so super cringy, right?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds... Yeah, it is super icky. I was like, oh my God, that's terrible. I would know what to do if someone did that to me. I think I would have to like really mess with them if someone did that to me. Seriously, I would. This all sounds like a lot of haps happening in the royal family. I feel like this is like the most that's happened in a condensed period of time in like 6 months. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, when the king and Catherine both went down with cancer, we had a very prolonged period of just not a lot going on, because during that time, William also scaled back his responsibilities a lot because, you know, he was taking care of the kids and he had to be home for the children while Kate was getting treatment and also obviously home to support his wife. So we've had about a year of silence, not silence, but significantly less activity. And we are starting to, I think, ramp back up as we come into the summer, which is always the spring and summer are always very busy for the royals. So as we are coming into those busy seasons of like garden parties and all of that, I think there's some state visits planned soon. I think there's an Italian state visit coming up. So I think we're going to start to see things like ramping back up, and we'll be able to get back to our like royal watching fun.
Well, that's exciting. And I know we have some other things that we want to do as well. Yes. But we're definitely back on the royal front. I hope you guys are excited that we're back, because we're really excited, and we will start posting more regularly so you can see us again in the next couple of weeks. Thank you, Courtney, as always, for being a font of very useful trivial information. My husband one time told me I was a font of useless information.
My dad tells me that, and I'm like, thanks, man. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was like the first fight we ever had. It was like 23 years ago. I think it was the first fight we ever had. And I was like, it's not useless. I'm a writer. It's what I do. Anyway, funny. Well, have an awesome day up there out of column land. I hope you stay well and not congested. And I hope